हरि सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासदि गौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे।
So we finished the aspect three, which is Krishna's Rasabhim, who is the ocean of all, rasa. And so therefore the qualities, the 64 qualities that he have, is the basis of this rasa. That is the attraction that devotees have to him, the basis on which the interaction is happening. So now aspect four, I think we did four, no? So then we did the living entities. So they have 50 of these 64 qualities. And so in the transcendental position, then that's their natural position. But they are subject to being conditioned. And so that makes the difference between Godhead and the jivas. The jivas can be conditioned by material nature, Godhead cannot. Material nature serves him. So aspect five. The living entity is just like a corpuscle in the rays of the spiritual sun, which is Krishna. He is subservient and thus in a state of being enslaved and subject to mundane earthly enjoyment because of his infinitesimal form. If subservient to Krishna, he would have no suffering and could enjoy eternally heightened bliss. When his desires for sense gratification gradually become Krishna averse, he becomes illusioned and starts suffering from illusory pleasure and pain in this material world. Involved in irresistible cycle of fruitive activities created by the illusory potency. The cycle of illusory fruitive activities comprises of virtue and vice, pleasure and pain, as well as high and low status. Through such a mundane cycle of activities, sometimes one may obtain heavenly planets and may also undergo hellish conditions, thus traveling through 84 lakh species.
Yeah.
Corpuscle means something small. It's like a corpuscle is one of those things in the blood. You have red ones, you have white ones. So it means something very, very small. But you say just a light or this and that. But here it means it's a lot. You know, it gives more than an indication it's a lot. Okay? Does that make sense? So the living entity then, because of his desire for sense gratification, when that becomes averse to Krishna, then he becomes illusioned by the material energy. As long as his desire for sense gratification is in connection with Krishna, he wants to see Krishna's pleasure, or he takes pleasure in things that are connected to Krishna. Right? Does that make sense? Then there's not a problem, but as soon as it becomes averse, then one comes to this place. And so then you have duality. That's the main element. Everything is based on duality. And so then the fruit of virtue and vice are pious and impious. That will take you up, it will take you down. So therefore you attain to heavenly pleasures or to hellish regions. Pleasure and pain, you know, what you do that's pious will give you pleasure. What you do that's impious will give you pain. And high and low status. You get a higher status, you get a lower status. Does that make sense? So anything that we would consider materially nice comes from virtue. Anything that's not nice will come from non-virtue.
Here, it's a seventh Krishna. Then he would have no suffering and to enjoy eternal enlightenment and bliss.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when he desires for sanctification, then he could not be eventually Krishna for birth and becomes illusion.
Mm-hmm.
Now, why does the divinity becomes comes to illusion?
Why does it come to illusion? Because he's averse to Krishna.
But he is very, he is subservient. And he says the eternal bliss.
No, but it says if he does.
Okay.
If subservient to Krishna, he would have no suffering and could enjoy eternally heightened bliss. Eternally. Right? So that means if. So that means that choice has to be made. So he's involved, he's engaging his senses. That's not the problem. But he becomes averse to Krishna in the involvement of these senses. Right? Therefore, then there's a problem. It's going to be close more than here. The wind comes, the rain comes all the way up to here. Like upstairs, it doesn't come so far in. I'm just saying, somehow or another, the way it's good for wind as long as it's not raining, so you get a good breeze down here. And that way, it's very nice. Sure, why not? It means you have to use a little bit tighter than your luxurious European staple. Normally it's not first, so there's not supposed to be any wind when it rains.
Mm.
Only if there's a storm, and then a storm season, so then you know it's a storm, so you don't try to do anything. This is the new thing, it's not it. There's a wind while it rains.
Probably.
Yeah, but I'm saying this has only happened the last few years. There's never been like this. Because then you can't sit here. You can't do anything. That's just too much noise. Okay. So the living entity then has a form, a spiritual form, that means then senses will be there. Senses will be engaged. So as long as that is in connection with Krishna, he moves forward. If he's subservient to Krishna, then he'll establish himself on the transcendental platform, on the eternal platform, permanently. But if not, then he'll end up becoming illusion and coming to the material world. It's not going to work. You can, but then you're going to have to deal with monsters while I'm because now you get the rain if you go up there and all that other city. Might work.
Should we try the rain?
Hmm?
Should we try the rain?
I'm sorry.
Don't
And what is your idea? Where is the ladies going to sit? You know what I'm saying? See, it's very important in the Vedic culture. See, you're aware of women, but not in the way of culture. You notice women that you're interested in, attracted to. But when it comes to dealing with them properly, that you're completely unaware. So how are you going to engage that, your ability to notice women and interest in women in Krishna's service? Does that make sense? Right? Any other questions on this? No? Okay, aspect 6. In spite of the fact that the living entity may become conditioned through this cycle of illusion, he is but constitutionally of spiritual potency, and thus capable of being liberated from illusion. He cannot, of course, attain liberation through any kind of illusory activity. Accordingly, so what's an illusory activity?
Anything not in connection with Krishna?
Yeah. It's an activity that's not in connection with Krishna. It doesn't mean a specific activity. Right? It means an activity not in connection with Krishna. I wonder if we can move in a little bit. Okay. Means it's an activity that's not connected to Krishna. It's not a specific activity. Does that make sense? Any activity is properly connected to Krishna will give you liberation. Any activity is not properly connected to Krishna will bind you. Whether it's pious or impious, we generally take it, if it's impious, then it's nonsense, right? If it's pious, that's just being normal, then they're spiritual. But the point is, those pious activities not connected to Krishna are just as useless for getting us back to Godhead as, you know, an impious one. There's not really much difference, because the pious one eventually is going to become impious. Right? You get such a taste for material enjoyment that then you'll take up sinful activities to get it. Then you go to the hellish planet. Right? Then, after a while getting sick of suffering, then you'll start to become pious. Yes.
Are there not opportunities for further advancement in the spiritual planets? The heavenly planets?
Are there not possibility of further advancement? So is that something that you're hoping for? Like that? You just, you know, the best of both worlds or something?
Well,
you want to know if while you're surfing at Waikiki Beach, you can do devotional service. Yeah? He says yes.
My impression was in the heavenly planets, it's pious enjoyment, but simultaneously there's gurus like Brihaspati who can engage us.
Yes, but Brihaspati is advising Indra to do what? What is Indra asking Brihaspati advice in?
Sense gratification?
Management of the universe.
Yeah.
That's all. That side leaves. Is it blowing in that way?
It's blowing off on the
air. Okay. That's why traditionally you don't have glasses when there's a storm. That means if you're in an environment where it's the whole environment is only sense gratification, it's much harder. You know what I'm saying? Someone sitting at home, then they can think of Krishna. They're sitting at work, they can think of Krishna. If they're at a party, so technically you could make advancement at the party. But does anybody? No, that's the whole thing. So in one sense you could, but it's not the interest. Why are they in the heavenly planets? Who's in the heavenly planets? Who's there?
The pious living entities and
pious?
Yeah.
Those who want to enjoy.
Those who want to enjoy? But what are they? What are they known as?
Suras.
Suras, which are?
Devotees.
Okay, so then would we have, you know, second class devotees up there, the preachers? No, so who's there?
Those who are tinged with karmic desires.
Yes, okay, they're called neophytes. So until someone comes to the platform of nice karma, what happens? The current went on? Or someone just turned them on? Is that okay? You want them all? Turn it down. Unlimited. So the point is why is a neophyte a neophyte? What makes him a neophyte as opposed to a madhyama?
Lack of understanding of the scripture, lack of faith.
Lack of faith. Lack of understanding.
Yeah.
Okay, lack of commitment, mm-hmm. Distraction by material desires, critical of devotees.
Lack of purification. Lack of purification.
Yeah.
Lack of purification. Okay, now if someone dies in that condition, where are they going to go? The heavenly planets, that's what Krishna said.
Mm-hmm.
A neophyte devotee who, being distracted by material desires, leaves his body, goes to the heavenly planets. So then, who's in the heavenly planets?
Mm-hmm.
Right? So if they were distracted here, why they won't be distracted there? They're distracted here with a few blue jeans. You know, the girls here aren't that good looking as compared to there. The wealth, the health, everything. So you put them in that environment then? So that's the whole point. Is you could say, yes, you could, but will you? Right? Yeah.
So Marsh, how does the system of Madhva Acharya Sangha function for both from plant or design?
You'd have to ask the Madhva. Because we don't bother with it. Our idea is to just go straight.
Yeah.
you know, one of the purports in the 10 canto kalpa was mentioning that most of the devotees, they go to the heavenly planet.
That's what it is, in the 10th canto.
And from there they can make advancement. All Krishna also said to Brahma that those who are on the heavenly planet, they take birth to participate in this.
They take bark where?
On the heads. And take
but it says they can make further spiritual advancement. The point is where do you make that spiritual advancement? Here. Gopu Kumar went to Vaikuntha. He wants to go to Goloka. So he's going up from, you know, being here, you know, and then going king here, then going to the heavenly planets and becoming Indra, then going up to the higher planets, becoming Brahma, going to the, you know, the Brahman, where Lord Shiva's place is, and then going to Vaikuntha. Then when he wanted to go to Goloka, where did he go from there? He came here to the Boma Vrindavan. And then from there goes to Goloka. That's the method. So whether you're here or you're there, if you want to get to Goloka, you have to come. So if you're in the heavenly planets, naturally this is the place where you can perform your sadhana. You know, but you make it sound it's not that bad. Point is because we're not worried that we put a bad connotation, oh, for here, then you can't be good. You know, but heavenly planets, you know, that's nice. So if we can do devotional service there, then it's like, you know, you have your cake and you can eat it. You know what I'm saying? But that's the point, is that one's distracted. So one wants to make sure that one doesn't become distracted. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's not a recommended thing. Technically, maybe you could, but, you know, it's just like saying, you know, in any situation you'd be Krishna conscious. Right? But a devotee goes out, he walks out of the temple or walks out of his house. He has to dress like a karmi so he feels he fits in. Fits into what? So that means then in this heavenly planets where everyone's enjoying, he's going to be a great sadhaka? Or is he going to want to fit in? Your mentality goes with you. Right? That's the whole point. We don't want to be very strict, we don't want to be fanatic here, then you'll be the same there. Right? And you go back to Godhead by being serious, not by being averse, Krishna averse. Right? Accordingly, so that means an activity that's not connected to Krishna can never give you liberation. Right? Accordingly, it is not possible to dispel illusory effect by dint of any acquired virtue and pious activities. So just because you're a nice guy, nice person, politically correct, doesn't mean you'll dispel any illusion either. Right? So by performing activities that are not Krishna conscious, you know, you're not going to get anywhere. So that means then not Krishna conscious activities could be pious or impious. So impious, everyone's going to agree, is not going to be good. But the pious, they might think, well, there's some value. But you still can't dispel illusion by pious activity. Because it's the piety is an illusion. You've decided it's good. Right? But what's good about it if it's not connected to Krishna? Right? Therefore, there's activities that are good because they're connected to Krishna. The same activity not connected to Krishna is not good. Right? It's in the material sphere, good, nice, pleasant, gives a good result, but it keeps you in the material world. This one element is a very difficult one for the conditioned living entity to appreciate. Does that make sense? Because they're used to religion and pious activities are the same. But the point is a religion based on pranamoy, which is the economic platform, yes, it is. But if it's based on you want to elevate yourself out of the material world, get to the transcendental platform, then it's not. is useful connected to Krishna. But not to connected to Krishna, it has no value. You know what I'm saying? Someone who hasn't taken up Krishna consciousness, better they're pious than impious. Because at least pious, they'll support, they'll create a nice environment. And in that pious attitude, they can surrender. Right? Impious people generally have a tendency to not surrender. Right? Even if the... continuing. Even if the conception is developed that I am a living entity and that my spiritual corpuscular existence and illusion is simply despicable for me, will not be instrumental in liberating oneself from illusion through such an awakening of the spirit of Gnostic renunciation. Right? In other words, he's even saying here that understanding I'm infinitesimal and I'm spiritual, and I can't tolerate this material existence anymore. That still is not going to get you out. Right? Even though it may be more, that this renunciation is there, it may be pious, but it's still not good enough. Right, so given the karma aspect, not connected to Krishna is not going to work. The jnana aspect, the renunciation, attachment is not going to work. Not connected to Krishna. Detachment is not going to work if it's not connected to Krishna. Does that make sense? Right, so now it's starting to get really serious. As soon as the spell of latent and obscure ecstasy of considering oneself as the servant of Lord Sri Krishna is awakened, the effective benefit of liberation will be impending. Only upon such an awakening of one's own disposition that the disposition of being dominated by illusion starts dispelling in course of time. Only as you see I am servant of Krishna, to that degree then the illusory effect is dispelled. Right? That's all it is. This is what it is. Previously that was it. If it wasn't connected to Krishna, nobody cared. So anything they didn't know how to connect to Krishna was thrown out. Right? So they may have thrown out useful things. But the point was, is the commitment was that it's for Krishna. And if it's not for Krishna, who cares? Right? So very dynamic spiritually, very dynamic is the preaching movement. But unfortunately, due to lack of understanding culture and finities and etiquette, then those things were thrown out also. And so then with time, as that was, devotees are disturbed by a lack of culture or by a need for culture, you know, then there's a problem. Then the devotees start taking up culture. And what do they take up? Pious culture. Right? And even within pious, unfortunately, Western pious, because they don't even know what Vedic pious is. Right? Because then if it's Vedic, it's not connected to Krishna, it's bogus. Somehow another Western not connected to Krishna, that's Yukta Vairagya. I have no idea how it works, but it seems to work very well in the Western brain. Right? So now we have a difficulty here that they've thrown out the things that they could be used, but now the determination by which those things were thrown out also gets thrown out in the process. Does that make sense? So in other words, there's a cultural problem, so therefore it's the attitude that's creating this problem. Therefore, this Krishna conscious attitude of connecting everything to Krishna is the problem. Therefore, that gets thrown out. What do you replace it with? Some pious activities that will give you material benefits so that all those different things that you felt you were lacking all these years will be taken care of. And that is being quote-unquote practical to move. Right? So, therefore, we can see is that Bhaktivinoda Thakur is making these points. Why? Previously, you didn't really have to make these points. Because in that beginning enthusiasm, one just accepts it, lock, stock, and barrel. But as one deals with it with some time, one starts to develop attraction and aversion to certain things. So then it has to be very clear, is your pious activities and your renunciation, if it's not connected to Krishna, not going to get you anywhere, as far as devotional talents go. May get you very nice situated in the material world. You may be recognized by the karmi. They might think that you're doing a great job, you know, on material activities. But it's not going to get you back to Godhead. Does that make sense? Who can awaken one's own disposition, which is extremely obsolescent? This cannot be done through any efforts of fruitive activities, pedantic knowledge, and Gnostic renunciation. Right? So, therefore, these methods have to be given up. Right? But you notice here, it's fruit of activity. It's not saying that it's connected to Krishna. Fruit of activity means it's not connected to Krishna. Right? Pedantic knowledge, just knowledge for knowledge's sake. It doesn't really have any basis. It's not Krishna conscious. It's not God conscious. That will not get you anywhere. And this renunciation that's not connected to Godhead will not get you anywhere either. Okay? Accordingly, one whose own disposition is awakened by virtue of some destiny may use the benefit of awakening the almost obsolescent disposition of other living entities through the force of his association. Right? So one who has been awakened, then he can help others be awakened. Right? If everybody's tied up and you're untied, you know, then you can untie others. Right? In this connection, the instance of two happenings will be required. One who is desirous of awakening his own true disposition attains a little of devotional flavor of seeking shelter by virtue of the results of his previous activities. By virtue of the results of his previous activities of devotional services rendered unto Godhead. And this will be considered as one of the instances of two happenings required, as mentioned herein before. Okay, so one is that who is desirous of awakening, then that starts to move forward because of his previous devotional activities. So it means either pious or, either known or unknown. Right? Because it's said that the living entity, when he goes to the heavenly planets, when he comes back, he's born into religious families. You know, pious families, Brahmin families. It doesn't say devotee families. So therefore, he's going to have to want to be awakened. Right? In other words, he's pious, so therefore he's used to things being very nice. Material world is not so nice. And noticing this, he will start to think there has to be some solution. There has to be something more, greater than this. That disposition then, when he surrenders to God, then will then reawaken from his previous devotional activities. Right? Another aspect would be Agyata Sukriti, that he's been done before. Right? By so much preaching activity going on, people are exposed to Krishna consciousness. Being exposed to Krishna consciousness, then that's Agyata Sukriti. Right? So then, those persons then, if that builds up enough, then that results by the association of devotees in faith. Right? There's some notes further on shelter. Additional notes on seeking shelter. Sharanapati Lakshana. The purport is this. When the living entity comes to realize it definitely that the illusory world is his prison house, and as such it is despicable, and that all fruitive activities, all speculative knowledge, and all opulence or yogic processes relating to renunciation and emancipation cannot firmly bring his own true disposition to sense,
Then he takes shelter at the lotus feet of Lord Sri Krishna as an insignificant soul surrendering under the supreme will of Sri Krishna, with full confidence in the fact that Sri Krishna is his only protection and controller, dispelling all sorts of distractive activities against the attainment of devotional service to Sri Krishna. This is the symptom of unalloyed devotional services to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Right? So that's the whole aspect of surrender. It means all aspects of karma, jnana, and yoga are given up because you know that they're not going to get you anywhere. Giving them up doesn't mean the activity is not performed. It means it's called karma, jnana, or yoga if it's not connected to Krishna. Does that make sense? You perform an activity. It's not for Krishna, it's called karma. You perform it for Krishna, it's called karma yoga. Right? All activities of intelligence, if it's, you know, intellectual understanding and that, if it's not in connection with Krishna, it's called jnana yoga. Jnan. If it's connected to Krishna, it's called jnana yoga. Does that make sense? So the whole idea is all these aspects that connected to Krishna then become useful. Because the consideration is that if it's not connected to Krishna, throw it out. It's not the form that you're throwing out, it's the mentality that you're throwing out. The form is useful. What other form you have? This body is not connected to Krishna, so would you throw it out? No, we keep it. Right? So if you can keep the body, you can keep the activities that the body performs. The point is it's connected to Krishna. That's the whole point. Right? But it's so simple, it's so straightforward, somehow or another doesn't, even though it's very nice, we don't want it to allow it to make sense to us. Because then it brings it out of the realm that it's simply the external forms that make spiritual and not spiritual. You know, I wear, you know, orange cloth, I wear big fat neck beads, I got big beads, you know, I chant, I spit on the ladies. You know, wow, what a brahmachari, this guy is going back to Godhead. Right? But the point is that, and then the grihasthas with his family and all that, oh, look at the poor sucker, he's not getting anywhere, you know. Didn't he read the Prabhupada said, you know, his grihastha disciples, you know, most of them go to the heavenly planets, you know, like that. Does that make sense? But the problem is then, if that brahmachari and the grihastha have an equal shot at freeing themselves from the material energy, like that, then suddenly then it's like, why am I a brahmacharya? Why shouldn't I be married? You know what I'm saying? And then all the good points of the brahmacharya, the grihastha also think, oh, then all this sense gratification can be very nicely connected. But the point is none of that will work unless it's based on the principles of brahmacharya. So then if he doesn't have that respect, sense control, service attitude, all these different things, he's not going to progress. So he has to be able to maintain the ability to discern between the different material qualities and, you know, to discern what is his own material qualities and therefore connect them to Krishna. This takes some maturity. This takes being able to see beyond the form. So the form's important, but it's only important that it's something to carry the attitude. Right? A cup is... Now, when you have a cup of water, what's actually important? The cup or the water? The water. But without the cup, do you get the water? No. So therefore, the form delivers the attitude. So that attitude is connected to Krishna. Therefore, that's what's being delivered. It's that devotion. But the tendency is the neophyte will throw out a form if he can't see the use of it. Right? So therefore, in the past, devotees have thrown out all kinds of useful things. And then because of this, then others who are also attached to form, therefore then don't like that, and then try to replace the thrown out forms with the forms that were thrown out or something else. So, and then so they'll say, this is useless. So the process of throwing out a form because it wasn't connected to Krishna, that's not the problem. The problem is not being able to see that that form connected to Krishna would be useful. So if it's not useful to me, that's fine. But if it's useful to something else, what's the problem?
Right? So for me, then grihastha ashram is not useful, I throw it out, but it's useful to someone else, they use it. But if it's a matter of I threw it out, everyone in the universe has to throw it out, or I'm married, everyone should be married, then that's a lack of intelligence, lack of discrimination. So this is the fine point in understanding here, is that we have to be able to discriminate between what is connected to useful and connected to Krishna, and what's not connected to Krishna is not useful. So we discern in the material energy what things are useful for me in my progress, then make sure those are all connected to Krishna. Does that make sense? So when it says here pious activities, all this, you know, karma, jnana, yoga, all this varnashram not connected to Krishna is useless, that doesn't mean they're thrown out. Does that make sense? So that's the whole point. We didn't throw out the body when we found out we weren't the body. So why did we throw everything else out? Does that make sense? The enthusiasm, that's great. But the point is that's 30 years ago. And now the very same principle people are fighting against. So that's not useful at all. That's Krishna averse. It's not going to get anyone anywhere. Right? So we have to be able to discern. If it's connected to Krishna, it's useful. If it's not connected to Krishna, it's not useful. End of discussion. Not it could be, yes. If it is, great. But until it is, it's not useful. If you're in the process of trying to make it, that's great. Continue. But if you're not, just because it's pious or nice or good, doesn't mean it's good enough. It will keep you in the material world. Does that make sense?
What about in case like position of Daksha and Narada Muni in Bhagavatam?
Daksha and Narada Muni.
Like Narada Muni always encouraging Rinong's life to the extent that he was changing the son of Daksha. Why Daksha isn't Vyasa? And he was saying that one cannot really be truly renounced unless you pass through this other process. So what can we say about these two seemingly different understandings? Narada Muni always encouraging renounce.
Okay, now Narada Muni, when he encouraged those first group of sons and the second group of sons, did they become renounced? Yes. Did he tell Yudhishthir Maharaj to become renounced? Then? Does that make sense? In other words, know who you're preaching to. If the person can become renounced, you take that path. Why take a more difficult path when an easier path is available? I'm saying the path of detachment, then even though it's a bit austere, there's very few distractions. So it's more direct. Right? That's why if one can take Prabhriti, I mean Nivriti, one always takes it. If one has enough distractions from that, then one takes the path of Prabhriti. Right? But the point is whether it's Nivriti or Prabhriti, if it's engaged in the Lord's service, it doesn't matter. The key is it connected to Krishna? You know, so then like this morning you say, well, I don't like to go out in devotional clothes, I feel uncomfortable. What's that got to do with Krishna? You know, I want to fit in. What does that got to do with Krishna? You know, then it said, no, but what if we're preaching to people and they feel uncomfortable? Isn't that a different thing? Because then you're considering the preaching for Krishna won't happen if I'm dressed as a devotee, but if I'm not dressed, then the people are more willing to learn. Listen. It's two completely different discussions. But what's being seen? only the externals of the dress. Therefore, it seems like it's one topic. So therefore, yes, if I ever, you know, on you know, one of those rare blue moon days was out preaching, right? Then if I was wearing devotional clothes, which I never wear anyway because I don't feel comfortable wearing them, if I was, then I wouldn't be able to preach, even though I don't. So therefore, I will wear karmic clothes all the time because just in case if I ever met someone that I would preach to, they would feel comfortable. But the reason I'm wearing the karmic clothes is because it makes me comfortable. And the whole consideration is not Krishna, because if you're preaching, you're preaching to people for what? They're making Krishna conscious. Then Krishna, then what? How? What's going to be their lifestyle? What clothes is the person who doesn't like to wear devotional clothes, who wears karmic clothes, he preaches to somebody and makes them a devotee, what culture are they going to follow in their life? What if they are comfortable with wearing devotional clothes? Is the person who's not comfortable with it going to be able to encourage them to do that? Good possibility not. Why? Because their reason for not wearing them is not in connection to Krishna. If it's a matter of, I go to work, I can't wear them, the boss won't allow this and that, so therefore they're wearing, and then in that process they bump into people, preach to them, but they're comfortable wearing devotional clothes, therefore those people they preach to, they can also then encourage, they can explain why we wear like that. Otherwise, these other persons can't explain, they're embarrassed to explain, they're embarrassed to you know, identify with the devotees and say that, yeah, they wear bed sheets and they do all these funny things. And you understand? So it's not ISKCON communication. It's I'm embarrassed to be identified as a devotee. So let us bring it as much to the pranamoy and make it all nice and goody-goody as possible. Right? If you have an interfaith discussion, what do the nuns wear? Tank tops? They come out in their habits. The priests are there in their stuff. What do we go in? Army clothes. So what does that mean? It means they're embarrassed. That's what it means. That's what it means. Yeah.
Is it due to the insecurity of getting loss of sense gratification?
Is it insecurity of getting loss of sense gratification?
Is the devotees
possibly, but generally the problem is they get stuck. It's because they know sense gratification is bad, so they'll engage in something that's practical that everybody else has to do. Because everybody's doing it, no one will make a comment that that's what's going on, so everybody can feel comfortable. Right? But beyond that sense gratification, they can't explain, because on the Western, it'll look like sense gratification, and they wouldn't have a clue how to operate that according to the data. You know what I'm saying? So they kind of get stuck in between two worlds. They can't enjoy the spiritual platform, they can't enjoy it materially, they can't take advantage of the opulences of the Vedic culture, and they can't really deal with the modern. You know what I'm saying? Everyone talks have money, but if you had money and you bought a Mercedes, then everyone's saying, oh, look at the sense gratifier. You know, so it's like, you can't win. You're dealing with losers. You know what I'm saying? So they have no idea how material energy works, they have no idea how spiritual energy works. They don't want to surrender because then they might lose some of their independence, but at the same time as they have no good plan how to operate the material world. And it may be because it's practical, it may be they're overwhelmed. Fine. It happens. but at least be open to the idea that maybe you could, in this overwhelmed condition, be God conscious. Does that make sense? You know, whatever position you're in, you know, you're living in a, you know, log cabin out in the middle of nowhere in, you know, North California, you can still be Krishna conscious. You can still connect that to Krishna. You know, because we're working on the mentality. And just to say, yes, we can be, it's not good enough, you have to do it. So that's what Bhaktivinoda Thakur is mentioning here. Okay, so end here. And then tomorrow we'll continue with the rest of the aspects too.
Om Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare.
God. Is this point starting to make some sense? The bottom line is connected to Krishna, it's useful. It's not connected, it's not useful. That's it. You understand that one thing? Your devotional service will become dynamic. If you don't understand at one point, it will be less dynamic. Mm-hmm. If you get distracted. Okay, thank you.
The bell. If one will observe that the bell is here. And there is a pathway that goes around and enters here. We've taken out the extra trees, we've moved the trees. It's a big gap.
Okay.
So I want the bell rung from this side. I don't want stupid wires that are tied under the branches of the trees, and, you know, it's going walking on the edge of the wall. You know what I'm saying? You know, even if it's a guard who walks around, everybody goes, you can take the wire off. You know, and hang like he had before, a little rope or something like that. They get under there, and then they can do it nicely. Because as it is now, it doesn't look like they can't get it from any problem. Also, why did you buy the North Indian dollar for the Bombay dollar?
Because
Dilo bought it.
Who?
Dilo. Why would Dilo buy a bell? You're saying something so important as that, that you have to go and hear the sound.
I'm like a rhythm clap.
Like that. I mean, it's okay bell, but it's nothing special. Bad, maybe it doesn't have much ring. If it's that much big and that much weight, if it was a Bombay bell, you'd have a bell this big. You know what I'm saying? Bombay bell is like, this type of come with a bell. It's how big? It's this big. Right?
Yeah.
And it sounds more cool than this. Why? It's just the style of the bell. So if you want to invest a lot in the bell, it's kind of good. You got to get a big one.
Yeah.
Then you got to get stuff. It's individual. Yeah. But otherwise, you're going to get a small bell, then you have to get a Bombay bell. Bombay bell, the one that goes like that. It's a fire engine bell.
Mm-hmm.
Those make more noise for how much is there. Okay, so, but in any case, you have the bell, so just tie a little rope on it, take everything, and everyone's got to go around and go in that way.
All right.
By the way, when I saw the guard tie the wire now instead of rope onto one of the branches of the tree, then I understood that you have a problem. The acharyas are so clear. The acharyas are so clear. The problem is this stuff is scary to most many people. It actually scares them.
Why?
Because they don't know how to connect everything they need to do. At the same time as they're insecure that it can be done and that it's actually important. You know, it's actually necessary. Because the basic thing is, as I am now, that's the way I am, and I don't have to change anything, which is true. The Prabhupada says you have to change the consciousness. they want to stay their way, they ought not change the consciousness and it's not going to work.
But they choose to become devotees.
They choose to become devotees, like that. So then, but
the thing is it should be progressive, it should continue.
They're willing to give up so much to become a devotee, why not continue in the same vein? It doesn't mean renunciation is the main part, it's giving up the material attitude. You know, so when you say, I just want to fit into what? You know, if you're going majority, most people are dressed like that, but it depends how you look at it. Right? In the cosmic creation, 3/4 then dresses like we do. 1/4 only is in the material world. In the material world, you have 14 planetary systems. 13 dress the way we do. Only this one doesn't. On this planet, then there are 7 dweeps. 6 of them all dress, you know, like we do. Only one has the opportunity to not. So if we're talking about fitting in,
it's like the frog in the well.
Yeah, that's the whole point. And the frog in the well is compared to a professor.
But didn't most of the devotees become devotees because they didn't want to fit in?
That's right. And so now they've forgotten that. In other words, material nature is just very, very rough and kind of beats them down. And so then in that state, they don't want to try anything new or risk anything or like that. They just, you know, it's very delicate for them. So it has to be nicely presented, nicely this and that. But there has to be some opening. There has to be some opening. And then you have to cultivate it for a long, long time. That means then the leadership has to do that. The preachers have to do that.
Is there not any way to help such people who are such mentality? Because they're just like a ghost. They're not fitting materially, spiritually. So it means they suffer so
much. Basically, they suffer more.
Yes.
Because they can't enjoy, and they can't not endeavor for enjoyment. So they don't know how to enjoy even. You know? You have a meal with them. They can't maintain a conversation that's nice for eating. They'll always bring up something disgusting or annoying or something like that. You know? They can't. So it's just, you know, the whole culture, the etiquette, it's something new to learn. It just, there's a wariness to learn it, a wariness that it works. Because they were following that very strict surrender, and then in that, emotionally, they got hurt. So therefore then the tendency is to throw out everything. So how to get it where emotionally they're not disturbed, this, that, and so. So it's just a matter of waiting for the right time. But just because you're waiting for the right time for them doesn't mean that with others you don't move forward.
Would it be considered very much feminine?
Would it be considered very much feminine? It's totally feminine.
So, by using masculine?
The proper masculine attitude in preaching, yes, that's the only way to correct it. Because then the shelter is there, that kind of thing is there. Tolerance, patience, waiting for the right time, preaching according to their mood, like that.
That means you have to be politically correct?
Political correctness is not the problem if it's based in Krishna consciousness. Political correctness is not based in Krishna consciousness. That's a problem. So when people talk political correctness, they're saying it without being connected to Krishna. They're just going by what the karmis say is correct or not correct. Is that what I said?
Those who wish they understand, but they don't go further, they don't realize.
Basically, that means, in other words, philosophically they're well situated. It's saying that's their strength. They know the philosophy nicely. They're situated there nicely. That's what keeps them in contact with Krishna consciousness. But they're distracted by their need for social, you know, structure and interaction, and because they don't know how to get it in a Krishna conscious way through Krishna conscious mediums, they turn to the modern. And so they live a dual life. Philosophically, they're Krishna conscious, but culturally, they're not. It's a problem. Because your philosophy and culture should match. Right? So that's difficult for them. Right? So then it becomes very speculative and what to do and all that. Right? And the speculative nature also gives, it works favorably with the politically correct platform. Because political correctness has no basis, right, other than just gain. So the standards can change. And then if you have the philosophy, you don't have the culture to apply it through, it also creates speculation. So the two go well together. So it seems like it's a match. But it's not really what you call a match. So they suffer. So the thing is, they don't have to change their lifestyle. They have to change their attitude. By changing the attitude, then whatever is necessary to change in the lifestyle will change with time as is necessary. If you change the attitude, then everything can be connected. Does that make sense? Yeah, because you're trying to engage your conditioned nature in the state that it's in right now. That's what you're trying to do, not what it will be in the future or what it was. No, what it is now. Because as soon as you say, you know, you got to, you know, do this and that. You know, what do you mean? I know all that. I was temple president for years. I made so many doors. That was nice, good. You have all that credit there. Why not take advantage of it? But that was right now, sitting right in front. I see a guy sitting in pants and t-shirt. So, will the man sitting in the pants and t-shirt, you know, take it upon himself to be responsible to engage all that in Krishna's service? We're not worried about what it was. Who's that? Gopal and... Why, they're having a class here. Okay.
Put this on.